If there's something that you did that caused your partner harm, a word, a gesture, a behavior that caused them to feel bad, apologize. A genuine, heartfelt apology. I can see my actions were hurtful. I can see my words were hurtful.
Welcome to the Relationship Psychologist Podcast.
Tune in every Thursday to learn with us as we interview experts.
And laugh with us as we banter about friendship.
And take action by implementing the tools and advice we provide to you each week to level up your personal relationships.
I'm Dana Mullen.
And I'm Alicia Hinger.
We are soul sisters, besties, and psychologists on a mission to change the culture of relationships.
Your journey to becoming more supported and connected starts
right now.
Okay, welcome back to session 3 of our communication mini series here. I want to talk about conflict and conflict discussions today, which is a massive topic. And so, again, there's not a one-size-fits-all for this discussion, but I want to see if I can give you some skills to practice and even a basic outline towards moving towards healthy conflict discussions. Now, in the previous two podcasts, we assessed our communication style, which will be useful to know when you're in conflict. What is your default mode? Useful to know that information. We also practice the thing called mirroring, or what I call the verbatim exercise, where you're practicing that listening skill and interrupting the pattern of rebuttaling what you're going to say before your person finishes speaking. So those are really important tools to already learn before we go into a conflict discussion. Remember that active listening involves giving your full attention to the speaker. And so when you have a conflict discussion, I think this is still useful, hard to do. I'm giving you, again, skills and ideas. But remember, when you're in a conflict discussion, you're going to feel triggered or dysregulated or heightened or emotional. And all of these things are going to hijack this process, which is why I want you to practice these skills when you're not in a heightened state or not discussing a hot topic. The more you practice anything in life, the more adept we'll be at utilizing those skills when we need them. So just like in any conversation, what we practice with the active listening is really important, or it's going to lead towards more misunderstanding, more assumptions that are incorrect, confusion, and then inevitably ineffective problem solving or ineffective resolution of whatever conflict is arising. So I'm going to challenge you to utilize those skills you practiced already in a conflict discussion. Asking yourself, am I fully focused on the speaker? Am I able to listen to their message? Or am I distracted by my own thoughts? Am I interrupting? Am I reflecting on what they're saying? Am I understanding what they're saying? Or is there gaps in my understanding? Do I need clarification? Am I asking for clarification? Am I demonstrating and communicating empathy and understanding and validation? Am I resisting that urge to rebuttal or mentally prepare my response while the speaker is still talking? And then when I'm talking, am I able to express my needs, my emotions, my points of view, my perspective in a healthy, clear way that facilitates clear understanding and effective communication for their circumstance? Am I focused on the relationship? Am I focused on resolving this conflict, not the conflict from last year, last week? Am I focused on the here and now, this particular conflict? Am I regulated enough right now to have this conversation? Am I focused and fostering an environment of mutual respect where both parties feel valued, heard, and understood? Am I noticing my own body, my own nonverbal cues? Am I noticing my partner's body and nonverbal cues? Or am I resorting back to aggressive language, insults, derogatory remarks, anger, frustration, dissatisfaction, blaming, accusing, suppressing my emotions, avoiding passive-aggressive behavior or communication? Like I said in the first podcast, conflict is a natural part of any relationship. It's going to happen. And actually resolving conflict or having deep conflict discussions can lead towards much growth in a relationship. It's a great way to express vulnerability and express your needs, your perspectives, your desires. It's a great way to learn, understand yourself and each other and the relationship better, and to work towards resolving, finding mutually beneficial solutions. Conflict discussions can actually improve your communication skills. It's a chance to practice the skills we've been talking about in the last two podcasts, to practice your listening, to practice your empathy, to practice your paying attention to the nonverbal cues, your attunement, I call that, to practice your communication skills that are clear and concise, mindful. It's a chance to deepen our understanding of each other. It's a chance to create safety for each other. It's a chance to strengthen our connection and our mutual understanding of our relationship. It's a chance to practice our problem-solving skills and be collaborative and work as a team. It's a chance to increase our emotional intelligence. Or it's a chance to create bitterness and resentment, a communication breakdown, and diminished emotional connection, and escalate not only this issue, but past issues, and create disconnection, and we've all been there. So let's not do that. Okay, so whatever the conflict is, or the communication or content is about, let's remember to focus on a couple of things, like our active listening, like our empathetic acknowledgement and validation of the other person's point of view, even though it's probably going to be different than yours, like clarifying, understanding, asking for clarification, articulating back what we've heard to make sure that we understood, is this correct? What I'm hearing from you is this. It sounds like your point of view is this. And we seek to understand first before we respond. It's also useful to look for common ground. Often when we're in conflict, we're fighting for a value or something that's important to us. And so we can find a common ground that seems like we both value this and we both value our kids and we're just coming across differently in our parenting styles. We both value an organized, efficient, flowing household, and the chaos that we're currently living in is causing us both to feel overwhelmed and distressed. And then can we find spaces to take responsibility? This is a really important one. Can you accept and verbalize your responsibility for your part, for your role in the conflict? Maybe it was a response. Maybe it was a lack of response. Maybe it was a behavior. Can you own your part in the current event that you're discussing? And then can we remember to stay in that place where we're both looking for a collaborative solution? The goal of a conflict discussion isn't to just vent and stay in a fight. It's to resolve. It's to both feel heard, understood, maybe not resolve the content. I said before, maybe not resolve the content, but resolve that we can disagree in this thing, but we're still good. We're still safe. We're still secure. And eventually we'll figure out a way to resolve this topic, whether it be the common ones, right? Sex, mess, kids, in-laws, finances. Those are kind of common hot topics that people come in with. When things get too heated or too escalated, can we take a moment to pause? What's going to be our code words, our keywords, our cues to say, this is too heated, or I'm getting dysregulated, or I'm getting too upset? Can we take a pause? Can we take a 5-minute, 10-minute, 30-second, if I need to, pause where we just go for a walk, take a breath, get a glass of water? This topic is important to me. I know it's important to you, and I want us to have an articulate, well thought out, empathetic discussion. And maybe it seems like right now we're becoming unskillful and falling back in old patterns. So let's pause and come back to this in blank minutes. I also want to ensure that we both feel heard. We both want to make sure that we set aside time, that we both have the space to articulate our concerns, our point of view, and give it the time it needs to first active listen, feel understood, feel validated, create that container of safety and security. If you need to come back to resolve the content, so be it. And again, if you need somebody else, like a third person, a mediator type, not a kid, maybe a counselor, or you know, someone that can maintain a neutral ground to help mediate this discussion, not to take sides or to pit your friend or somebody against your partner. That is not the goal of a mediator. Okay, so what might this look like, for example? So there's 1,000 reasons for conflict discussions, as we know, but let's talk about the big ones. If there's a breach, so if there's a breach in our safety secure system, which might be a breach in our trust, which might be a breach in the way you talked to me earlier, and now I'm feeling upset, I'm feeling disrespected, whatever that is, I encourage you to, again, take accountability. This is important, to pause and say, even though that wasn't my intention, let's not start there. Start with, I acknowledge that your experience of what happened is this. If your partner's telling you my experience feels like this, even if it was not your intention, acknowledge that. You start with, well, that wasn't my intention, you've just dismissed their entire experience. So start with the acknowledgement. Start with showing you understand their perspective. Again, even if you don't agree with it, that's not the point. Start with acknowledging, validating their perspective. This doesn't mean you agree. We're not enabling them to stay there. We're opening the door to a conversation. And then validate how that incident might have affected them. If they've been telling you all day that's how they feel, then acknowledge it. I've heard you say, or it sounds like this based on what you've told me. I understand your point of view, your feelings, your perspective. It feels like this. Your feelings matter to me. You are important to me. I want you to know that I understand how this affected you and our relationship. Defensiveness will kill connection, will kill a safe or secure discussion very quickly. So resist the urge to become defensive. I know it's really hard. And if you get defensive, pause and say, sorry, that was my part of me that got defensive, my protector, my whatever it is. Call that defense out and then pause and go back to, let me acknowledge again your experience. Because again, we're going to do this back and forth. You both get a chance to acknowledge and share your point of view, your perspective with each other. If there's something that you did that caused your partner harm, a word, a gesture, a behavior that caused them to feel bad, apologize. A genuine, heartfelt apology. I can see my actions were hurtful. I can see my words were hurtful. I can see that what I did had an impact on you and in our relationship, and I'm sorry. An honest, heartfelt apology with no defenses, no excuses, but just clear and sincere. If your words aren't sincere, they're just words. And next time you say, I'm sorry, your partner's going to roll their eyes and not believe you. So your words, when you apologize, matter. And how you say, I'm sorry, matters. So practice the art of good apologies, sincere, authentic apologies. Don't use the word but or just. Don't justify your behavior. Just a sincere, I'm sorry. And if that's hard for you, then go to help me understand. Help me understand how this affected you. Help me understand how you're experiencing or feeling this from your point of view. And then once you understand their point of view, and there's been an apology, then you can offer an opportunity for us to discuss solutions or a pathway to change. What can we do to make meaningful changes and improvements so that it doesn't happen again? What can we do to prevent this from happening again? And then once these changes have been discussed and there's ideas presented that feel useful and appropriate and beneficial to the relationship, then commit to those things. Based on today, I'm committed to making this tangible change. I am going to do X, Y, Z to make sure this doesn't happen again in the future. So having these discussions isn't easy, of course, but there are some things you can do to make these conflict or hot topic discussions a little bit easier on your relationship. So one thing you might want to do is plan a time, prepare a time. So if there's a topic you want to bring up with your partner, you want to discuss with your partner, maybe give them a heads up. Hey, I'd like to have this discussion with you. Can we make time tonight or tomorrow or within an appropriate timeline? This gives both you and your partner time to go back to those skills we talked about earlier, where you can be really clear about your intentions and get mindful about how you want to articulate your point of view and how you want to listen to their point of view and come to a mutual collaborative solution. So choosing a time and a place might be appropriate where both of you can be calm, uninterrupted if that's possible. And then John Gottman talks about a softened startup. So saying things like, I really appreciate taking the time to talk to me about this. Or I appreciate that life's been really busy and we both really, I know, value, for example, a clean home. We value an organized, clean environment. And I can just feel that it's been disorganized and chaotic for both of us. You're acknowledging the problem, the concern, with appreciation of I understand that your point of view might be this. Or I appreciate you've been working so hard for our family, for example. And I'm noticing that while you're out working so hard, X, Y, Z is happening here. This is just a general idea, but an outline of like, I appreciate X, Y, Z, and I'm noticing this, this, and this. So fill in your own blanks for your own discussion. I also find using that parts language, we talked about parts in our other podcast many times, so using a part of me feels like this. A part of me really appreciates you and understands your point of view or how you might be feeling, or a part of me understands why this is so difficult for our relationship, but a part of me also feels frustrated, a part of me feels stuck, or a part of me feels, so using parts language to help get across your point of view might also soften the startup of this conversation. And then asking your partner, can you listen to my point of view first, or do you want me to listen to yours? Often assessing who's kind of the most distressed individual. So when someone comes to my office and I'm watching them communicate, I'll often let the person who's the most distressed talk first because they're not going to be able to be a good active listener when they're in that state of distress. So to calm them down, take a second, like I said at the very beginning, to close your eyes, take a few breaths, regulate, and ask yourself, what is your intent? What is your goal for the conversation? And then going back and forth, practicing that active or mirroring verbatim listening that we talked about in podcast number one. And if you're the speaker, take your time to express your concerns. You've had some time now to plan for this. You've set aside time to have this conversation. So come with an articulate, best you can plan of what you hope to share and what you hope your partner will understand about your point of view on this topic throughout this conversation. So to have someone actively listen to you, we're not using things that are threatening. We're not threatening their relationship. We're not threatening each other. We're not using language that's going to shut them down or flood them best we can. We're paying attention using all those cues we talked about at the beginning, those verbal cues and nonverbal cues we talked about in the first podcast. paying close attention to all those things while we're doing our active communication and active listening skills. And then focus on the goal. If the goal is to resolve this thing about the messy house or the thing about finances or the thing about parenting or whatever the issue is, focus on that thing, not the individual. It's not a you fault system. It's a default system. Our parenting or our intimacy or our finances or whatever the topic is, focus on that topic and resist the urge to bring into it a thousand other topics. Focus on one topic at a time. So this is our conflict, our hot topic today. We're going to focus on this one thing here today. Maybe there's other topics to discuss at a different time, but we're going to focus on one thing at a time. So by focusing on the topic, I'm going to avoid criticizing or ridiculing or personally attacking the other person. I'm not going to generalize their behavior, generalize why they're doing what they're doing. I'm going to focus on maybe the actions that have led to this current situation that we're in, express my experience of it, my feelings, my perspective of it, and then do the same for them. Listen to their experience, their perspectives, and then work together to try to find a collaborative solution. So as we're working on the solution, we value this. We both believe this is important in our relationship. We both want this. And then again, once we've agreed on some action moving forward, I'm a big fan of agreements, which you guys know, we create agreements on those things. So now that we know this thing is an issue, we both agree to do these things differently. And I'm a fan of writing those things down. I love clarity. So write those things down. These are our new agreements based on our discussion today. High five. Good job. Thanks for the discussion. So it might sound something like this. Hey, hon, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. I also appreciate, and then mention something that you appreciate about them. But I've noticed that there's some tension in whatever, our house or our finances or our parenting lately. And then talk about your experience. I felt a bit overwhelmed, or I've been feeling a bit lonely, or I've been feeling a bit, whatever your experience is, about whatever the topic is. Again, appreciation, understand it's challenging, understand that you're doing the best you can do, understand, right? So we're going back and forth with this. I understand you, I'm appreciating you, but I'm also pointing out my point of view of how I'm feeling stuck in this current topic. And as we get better at this conflict discussion, we don't have to use the verbatim technique anymore, because I said at the beginning, that's kind of annoying. But having a back and forth dialogue where one person is communicating their experience, other person is validating back, and rather than this back and forth discussion of sharing, validation, understanding, sharing, validation on both parties. So it's a back and forth dialogue where we're both communicating collaboratively back and forth. We get to exhaust our entire stories, our entire experience, which shouldn't take that long. You also might want to give this discussion a timeline. If someone gets flooded easily or gets overwhelmed easily, maybe you want to say, let's discuss this thing. Let's give it, blank amount of time. Let's give it 10 minutes only. So we both know we're not stuck discussing this topic for 3 hours. And again, if we only get as far as, I hear you, I understand you, let me think on that, let me come back with some new ideas, great. We're still creating the container of safety and security. So the discussion is still a conflictual discussion about a topic, but we're not in conflict. We're safe and secure having this discussion about a topic that we can't quite agree on yet, which may give us some time to go back and rethink it, to get more resourceful, to get some new ideas, to get some new clarity. So don't feel like you have to resolve the topic that minute, unless it's a life or death, of course. But usually we have time. How are we going to resolve this thing about our finances? How are we going to resolve this thing about our finances or about our parenting or about our in-laws or about our sex life? First, let's seek to understand your partner's point of view and how it's affecting the relationship, how it's affecting our mutual agreed upon goals, visions, and values, our principles, our mission, what we're doing together. How is it affecting that bubble, that picture first? So like I said at the beginning, a conflict discussion is a complex discussion often, and it requires skill. So I'm giving you some just starting points here to start to create some skill for you that hopefully will develop and evolve over time. And I want to begin to challenge you to identify for yourselves in your relationships, what are healthy conflict resolution techniques, communication strategies that we're actually using, and what are things we've been doing that have been unhealthy or disconnecting in our relationship during our disagreements? What can we utilize now to improve those things? How can we diffuse tension during our communication, during our conflict discussions? How can we increase our connection, our vulnerability, and our safety, even while we're disagreeing? How can we own, be responsible and accountable for our own behaviors? How can we understand our own communication styles as well as our partners? And how can we work towards resolving conflict in a mutually beneficial, collaborative, safe and secure container that we call our relationship? I know this is a big topic. These are just some basic skills. Hopefully this is a starting point for you guys to jump off of. I'm putting together this content into kind of a workbook strategy. So if you're interested in that, DM me, I'll let you know when it'll be available. There are lots of supports out there for conflict discussions, not only professional help like counselors and therapists, mediators, but also books, other podcasts, YouTube videos. So I encourage you to practice some of the skills I've given you here, but don't stop there. Continue to explore to make your discussions the best they can be, because your relationship's worth it and you're worth it.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We're really glad you're here with us on this journey.
The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and give it a 5-star review.
See you next time.
This has been a Bread Dog Studios production.